Hello and welcome back to the ArcRE podcast. My name is Noah.
And my name is Gavin.
And we're the Blanchard brothers. And we got a very special guest. I don't know if they're going to choose to make a verbal appearance or not. But and we're not broadcasting the visual. No. We are recording over Zoom.
Yeah.
But we got a little guy on one side of the Zoom here with Gav. His first podcast ever. Mr. Charles Maverick Blanchard.
First of his kind, first of his name.
Welcome to the show, bud. Welcome to the show, little guy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He told me earlier before that he basically will let me choose all of his, but if I had some that I might want to flip-flop on, there could be a, this is dad, and this is my vote.
Fair enough.
So we'll see who wins out of the three of us this year.
So, yeah, Gav, as we mentioned, is on intermittent paternity leave.
Yes.
And so he was unable to join us for the recent 2x2. Hope everybody enjoyed that. Again, thank you to Mr. Evan Tuhig for jumping in. So we'll probably hear more from him and several other guests, but yeah, we couldn't let the Oscar season slip past us entirely, and we got to do our picks as is tradition. So these are our predictions for the 2024 Oscars, which are about the 2023 films. This is our last looks, if you will, at the films of 2023. And it has been an extremely long award season. I have paid attention to some of them, not most of them. It feels like it should have been over a long time ago. And a lot of these do feel like a foregone conclusion. I will say that from the top. But as always, we will be making two simultaneous lists, only one that matters, and that is our final picks. But we will also each illuminate what we would like to win, even right. If that may not coincide with what we think will win, in fact. So, here we go. And you've got your ballot in front of you, so maybe you want to pick the first category? I don't know if they kind of scale up or how it's listed. Or I'm on IMDb. I know you have the Academy ballot in front of you.
You want to do hair and makeup?
Hair and makeup, yeah. Let's. It's always good to start with some technicals. Let me make sure I am in the right category. Oh my gosh. Makeup and hairstyling. The nominees are Golda, which I did not see. That's the Helen Mirren movie. Maestro, for the nose. Oppenheimer, Poor Things. And Society of the Snow. That was the like the real life version of Alive. I think that was on Netflix. I did not see it, but yeah. What are you going with, brother?
I'm gonna go with Maestro for the nose.
I think I'm gonna go with Maestro as well. And I mean, to be honest, it's kind of like whenever Kazuhiro is nominated lately, I kind of say just go ahead and throw it to him. Dark horse would be Poor Things. Could steal it just for the mainly for the Willem Dafoe makeup. I don't know if you've seen much of him in that, but he's got like a Frankenstein like scar sort of like.
It's available on Hulu tomorrow, so I'm gonna watch it tomorrow when it comes to Hulu.
Well, there you go. Yeah, they snuck it in there just in time for Oscars. But yeah, I'm gonna agree with you, and I'm gonna go for Maestro as well. So. There we go. Let's move on to costume design while we're in the technical categories. For Barbie, we have Jacqueline Duran.
That's my pick.
I was going to say, like, I mean, mine as well, but I will read the other nominees. We have Killers of the Flower Moon, Jacqueline West, Jonty Yates, and David Crossman for Napoleon, Ellen Moronchnik for Oppenheimer, and Holly Waddington for Poor Things, which again, I think is the possible dark horse to Barbie in that category as well. But again, I'm going to go with Barbie because it only has limited nominations. And I feel like this is one of those spots where it's like, hey,
Okay. I'm gonna go grab a pin that's actually working. Give me 2 seconds. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're taking a live break, as we call it. And so while Gavin is going to grab a pen, I don't know why I made him be the bookkeeper for this. He just kind of volunteered for it, and he's juggling a baby, I should mention, once again. But yeah, I guess I'll tease what's coming next. You're hearing this on Sunday, theoretically, if you're, you know, looking for a last-minute Oscar pod. Or maybe we'll drop it a little earlier. I don't know. Anyways, our usual drop date is Tuesday nowadays. So look forward to a big Dune discussion coming very soon, which I know Mr. Evan Tuig will be joining me for, and possibly good old Brendan Riley as well. We'll see what happens with all of that. Okay, Gavin has returned, and he has a pen. Okay. We did Maestro for makeup and Barbie
for
costume. Okay. So we are in lockstep thus far. Let's move on to... Let's do visual effects.
Okay. All right.
Huge blind spot for me, admittedly. I still haven't gotten to it. Regrettably missed it in the theater. I need to see when this is coming to streaming. But Godzilla Minus One, which I heard nothing but incredible things about, is nominated. We also have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Napoleon, and The Creator.
I don't know. I mean, my heart wants to say either Mission Impossible is what my heart wants to say, but I think The Creator could do it just because it looked really good.
So to that point, I think that's kind of the case for Godzilla Minus One.
That too.
It was a, like, we're talking a fraction of the budget of most Hollywood blockbusters and kind of outdid them, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. So again, sight unseen, and as kind of the one lone place to honor that movie, which was kind of a huge hit this year, I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Godzilla Minus One.
All right. I'm going to go with The Creator.
Of what I've seen, I agree The Creator is kind of a similar story of, like, you know, not nearly what they usually spend on movies with, you know, with all of that in it. But they did quite a lot with a little. Unfortunately, the rest of the movie doesn't really live up to the impeccable, like, visual, you know, side of things for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, you'll get together one of these days.
One of these days. Yeah. You pick one, brother.
How about we go with production design? Kind of along the same thing, visually wise.
Production design is probably further up. Where are we at? Okay. A lot of familiar faces. Once again, we have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This is such a, oh God, again, conventional wisdom would say Barbie, and I think that's what I'm going to go with, but
okay. That's again, what I picked.
But Poor Things is the dark horse here once again, because incredible sets in that movie as well, and a whole, you know, constructed world. But yeah, I'm going Barbie.
Same.
I think it's going to be awesome to see it. Like, actually, the more I'm looking at this, I'm like, I think it's going to pull some technicals away from Oppenheimer, which you would think would be the favorite across the board here. But, you know, I guess these are the craft categories. We wouldn't consider these technical categories. These are craft. Yes.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay. So let's do editing. Let's go technical. Again, we used to have, or excuse me, sound used to be multiple categories, but now it is just the one category. Editing has always just been editing.
Film editing, yeah.
Yes. Okay, we have Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Holdovers. I'm leaning, you know, I would love this. Okay, this is the first one where I'll kind of go, I'll go personal. I would love to see Thelma get another one. I think she has one, maybe two. All of her and Marty's collaborations are absolutely incredible. And mm-hmm. she, you know, they, you know, they're just not the same if she's not editing them. So, but I got to go with Jennifer Lame for Oppenheimer. Which I think, again, the feat of that 3-hour movie that never really loses a head of steam at any point and juggles like all of these timelines and, like, you know, manages to thread that needle the whole time. I mean, I think it's inarguably maybe the most well edited movie of the year on a grand scale at that, you know. Is that, I assume yeah. we, I assume we're in lockstep.
Oh yeah,
on that.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was my pick too.
All right. I mentioned sound. Let's go ahead and clean up on sound. We have a Maestro, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, The Creator, and my pick, which, call me crazy, they better fucking get this right. My pick is The Zone of Interest. For best sound.
Okay. All right.
Now, I think in your head, you're like, it's got to be Oppie, right? I mean, the bomb, right? The choice right. of how he chose to do the bomb, all of the other aspects of sound in there. Or you could go Mission Impossible, like incredible. Okay, why are you going with Maestro?
Because I feel like they're not going to give anything else to it, but they have to do something for it. So it would be sound.
We just said it was going to get makeup.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. They could give makeup to Oppenheimer as well. I don't know. I haven't seen Poor Things. So I don't know.
I don't think you and I have discussed The Zone of Interest in any capacity.
No.
At least on this podcast, and definitely not off mic. But the sound is like 90% of what makes that movie effective. And it's
what's
like,
it about?
It is about the family that lived next to Auschwitz because of the main commandant who ran it. So it's all from their perspective. You never see on the other side of the wall, but you hear it and you hear lots of things. But the sound design is like so integral to what makes that movie work. And it's just, yeah, it's, you know, it's a whole experience in the theater, in a way that was even more like, overpowering than something like Oppenheimer, for instance. But yeah, it's the, like, if enough people actually watched it, which obviously they did because it's nominated in a lot of categories, it should actually win here. So I'm just saying, that's okay. It may sound crazy, but that's actually maybe the smart money, and I will actually be upset if it does not win the category, because I feel like it's a fundamental misunderstanding of like how powerful and integral that can be to a movie to not award this particular movie for how it uses it. So I don't want to say any more than that. I think there's a way for you to have, like, from what I hear, they're like putting a lot of work into the mix for when it is eventually going to be a home release. And a lot of people, you know, who missed it in the theater will eventually see it. It's going to be a weird home viewing experience. Like, I just think about people going on their cell phones. It's just a weird movie to think about doing that during. But, yeah. Anyways.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was the late edition because it didn't release here until, like, late January. So that and American Fiction I saw late in the game. But Zone of Interest would have cracked my top five last year. But didn't see it before we recorded that episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Where do you want to go next?
Let's just keep going with sound. Let's go original song.
Okay. Why are they separated so far here on IMDb? Okay. From the film American Symphony, we have It Never Went Away. It's John Batiste. It is Batiste. I want to put a P in there, but it's not in there. Batiste. And Dan Wilson, from Barbie, we have two songs. What Was I Made For? by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. And I'm Just Ken, Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt, sung by the incomparable Ryan Gosling from Flaming Hot, The Fire Inside, written by Diane Warren, and from Killers of the Flower Moon. I will not butcher that. The Parenthetical is a Song for My People by Scott George.
I'm going with I'm Just Ken.
Well, it's see, that's the thing, is I think, like, I agree. That's what I think that's the best of the bunch. It's the most fun. It's my favorite. It crushes. Like, it's a whole thing. But will they see it as like, okay, well, we get the fun performance from Gosling live on the Oscars, but we also want the juice with the kids, with the Gen Zers. So it's obviously going to be Billie Eilish. So I'm going to say, yeah, Billie wins, but they literally put I'm Just Ken in the category just to get him to perform at the Oscars, which will basically be the consolation prize for the fact that he's not going to win supporting actor. Spoilers for when we get to that category.
Oh, no, I didn't expect him to.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, but you're going with Ken?
Yeah. That's like the only place you could honor him in this whole thing, because he's not getting anything for that. Just the way that, like, they kind of completely
actresses in that movie. With you, and that's where my heart is once again. But my pick is on What Was I Made For? So,
well, Bex will be happy if that one wins. So that'll be fine. She loves Billie Eilish.
I mean, and it's, I believe she's won quite a few of the precursors.
Yeah.
Okay. While we're there, original score, shall we? For American Fiction, Laura Cartman. For Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, John Williams. Get that.
Get over it.
Get that the fuck out of this category. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I could name you many, many more scores. Particularly,
he's won a bunch, right?
One that comes to mind, like, literally, get John Williams off the list and let's honor another living legend. Joe Hisaishi's score for The Boy and the Heron is the best score of the year, flat out, hands down. And it's not even nominated here. It's disgraceful. Disgraceful. Okay. Excuse me. The late, great Robbie Robertson for Killers of the Flower Moon. In my heart of hearts, this is what I want to win. I don't think it's going to, because I think Ludwig Göransson is going to win for Oppenheimer. So put me down for Oppenheimer. And I should also mention that Jerskine Fendricks is nominated for Poor Things, which has a very, like, a we're making choices kind of score, where it's some people might actually hate it and find it grating. I did not. I'm just saying it's a bold choice, which I always enjoy when it's like, oh, as soon as I hear that music, I'm like, oh, that's the Poor Things music. You know what I mean?
Okay, I see what you mean.
So, but yeah, it's going to be Ludwig, I'm pretty sure. Although, again, Killers of the Flower Moon, a movie that I only expect to maybe get one, like, bit of recognition the whole night, hopefully. It would also be nice to see, you know, Robbie Robertson, great friend of Scorsese, you know, of course, a huge important factor to the band, one of my all-time favorite bands, and also passed away last year. So there's all of that would go into, that would be a nice posthumous win, but it's probably going to be Ludwig. And that's a great score. I mean, I rewatched Oppie on Peacock, and, you know, I think we're all pretty prepared for how things are going to go down on Sunday night, but let us continue the inevitable march towards the best picture conversation. Okay. Let's do animated.
Okay.
Got Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and The Boy and the Heron. Just want to say, by all accounts, I didn't watch this movie. I heard nothing but terrible things about Elemental. So to see it nominated here and to not see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, I just want to call that out as I think that kind of sucks. All these other ones I've heard great things about. Haven't seen Robot Dreams personally. Haven't gotten to Nimona either. I know that one's on Netflix. And yeah, of course, Spider-Verse, fantastic, but we all know what my pick is, and if it doesn't fucking win, I'm gonna be very, very upset. The Boy and the Heron, the best movie of 2023, it better win Best Animated Feature. But you pick whatever you want.
Oh no, I picked that too.
Okay. If they give it to Spider-Verse,
I
I
won't be
will be
upset.
so, no, I will be so angry. I really will.
Okay.
And I like Spider-Verse a lot. That was a great movie, great theatrical experience. But they need to get it right. They need to get it right. Don't fuck this one up. Okay? Don't fuck it up.
Okay. All right, let's do animated short then after this.
Okay.
I
Okay,
haven't
these
seen
are
one
always
of
blind
these.
for us. I doubt you've
Yeah.
checked any of these out on YouTube or gone out to the theater for the screening of all of them. We got Letters to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, but it's spelled kind of weird. I'm probably Pachyderm,
Sure, that's what I'm going
and
with.
War Is Over. Give me Letter to a Pig just because the poster looks cool.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do live action short.
Let's do it. We have a movie called Invincible, movie called Night of Fortune, movie called Red, White, and Blue, a short called The After. And not to diminish any of these people, and I'm very happy that they're all nominated, and I hope they have a wonderful evening on Hollywood's biggest night. But a little short film that's about 40 minutes long called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is going to get Wes Anderson his first Oscar ever, which is going to be pretty fucking cool. Even though it's bullshit that they don't nominate him for production design, cinematography, best director, etc. Like every year he puts out a movie, he just always is completely ignored by the Oscars. But he's in this category, and if he doesn't win, it will be like the ultimate slap in the face to nominate him in this category and then not give it to him would be beyond disrespectful. I don't even know how else to put that. That's in spite of the fact that the shorts he did for Netflix, I talked about them briefly on the pod, they are astounding. They're incredible. Henry Sugar is kind of the main, and you're, dude, I know you love Cumberbatch. You got to go watch these. I know Wes Anderson's not your vibe all the time, but they are Roald Dahl adaptations, and the way he does the like adaptation is just, it's great. You should at least go watch this one, and then there's three other ones as well. All great. All great. But yeah, you pick whatever you want, but it's going to be The Wonderful Henry Sugar, the story of
Gotcha.
Henry Sugar.
Okay, you want
Just
to do a
giving you a pro tip there. Let's do documentary short, mine as well. We have Island in Between, Nai Nai and Waipo, The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, and The Last Repair Shop.
I'm going to go Last Repair Shop.
I'm going to go with that one as well, only because I think this was pretty highly rated by Sunshine Mayfield, who always makes an effort to see all of the shorts. And I think this was kind of the one he highlighted, if I remember correctly. I'd have to double check with him, but it sounds like the smart money would be on The Last Repair Shop.
Right, well, let's roll a documentary feature after that then. I hear you, Bubba.
How you doing, Maverick?
He's stirring a bit. He's been doing good every 2 to 3. We slept last night, and we slept overslept his feeding schedule, so we went over 3 hours, which was fine.
Gotcha.
But he's gaining weight, getting bigger every day.
That's good.
Growing his hair out.
Oh yeah. Just a few more categories, buddy, and then we'll let your dad go, because your uncle needs to go to bed as well.
Yeah.
Okay, documentary feature, 20 Days in Mariupol, Bobby Wine, the People's President, Four Daughters, The Eternal Memory, and To Kill a Tiger.
I'm going to do Eternal Memory.
I've heard a lot of strong things about that one. Just to give us some variation and possibly be able to pull ahead of you, I'm going to go with 20 Days in Mariupol.
Okay.
Which is kind of, I think it's between those two. I mainly say that because those are the only two that I've heard mentioned this year. And I also kind of heard this was a weaker year for docs overall. So.
Okay. So speaking of Mariupol,
take that how you will.
Let's do international feature next.
Oh, yes, I think we should. Where is it? Okay. Lo Capitano from Italy. From Japan, Perfect Days. I should mention that is directed by Wim Wenders, but it is the Japanese submission, which I think is pretty cool. Society of the Snow, which we mentioned, which is available on Netflix if you haven't seen it. That's from Spain. From Germany, The Teacher's Lounge, which I did not catch, but I saw a trailer for and looked pretty compelling. And then the United Kingdom's submission is a German language feature directed by Jonathan Glazer, which is why it is the United Kingdom's submission. And that movie is The Zone of Interest, and that is the film that will win, I'm just telling you. And once again, if it does not, then I don't know how to predict these things at all, and none of this means anything, but it will win international feature, 100%. You can bet on it. Okay. Hey, buddy. Oh, we got a little. Oh, we got
a little bit. You heard something? He's still got both eyes closed, but
I heard it. Maybe
he stirred a little bit.
We'll see. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I got too. Zone of Interest.
While I'm down here at the bottom of the IMDb list, I will just mention, if you're tuning in tonight or whenever you're hearing this, if you tuned in, the honorary awards are going to the Queen, Angela Bassett. Carol Littleton, I don't know who that is, unfortunately, but good for her. And also, one of the best to ever do it, Mr. Mel Brooks, gets an honorary Oscar this year.
Yes.
So, looking Perfect. Forward to those. Yeah. Okay, so I think we've hit, let me just scroll through. Have you seen any big blind spots, or are we getting into the meat?
No, I figured we start.
We got some writing categories.
Yeah, start with the screenplays, and then we can hit the meat and potatoes.
Oh, no. Cinematography.
Well, we do that after writing. That's fine.
Well, okay, hold on. All righty. In original screenplay, they just made this shit up right out of top of their dome. Justine Triet and Arthur Harari for Anatomy of a Fall. Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer for Maestro. Sammy Birch and Alex Mechnik for May December. Celine Song for Past Lives. And David Hemmingson for The Holdovers.
I'm going to go Past Lives.
Okay. My heart, right there with you. One of my favorite movies of the year. It's my number two. What can I say? I adore everything about that film. I think it's an incredible feat of writing as well. But I think so much of it is in the direction. And I don't know, I don't know if it reads as compellingly just as a screenplay. I'm going to go with the dumb, maybe more obvious pick, Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
For original screenplay. The only other one I could see sneaking in here would be the Holdovers, because again, just a great lived in character study. And when you think about like, oh, this, it feels like, oh, this was probably adapted from a novel. And it's like, nope, just some shit some dude thought up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And on that level, it's like pretty damn good screenplay. And again, May December, where it's like, it's not adapted from anything. It's drafting off of Mary Kay Letourneau, but it's like, it's its own thing.
Right.
And that's an incredible screenplay as well. I mean, all of these are pretty top notch. I wasn't, to be honest, I wasn't particularly impressed by the Maestro screenplay. I think there could be easily a lot of other original picks there, but who knows? But yeah, so you're going Past Lives and I'm going Anatomy of a Fall. Okay.
Yeah.
Best adapted screenplay. We have Cord Jefferson for American Fiction, Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach for Barbie, Christopher Nolan and for Oppenheimer, Tony McNamara for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Okay, couple things to note here. Cord Jefferson, first-time filmmaker. Don't know that American Fiction is going to get any love anywhere else. It's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
There was some controversy over the Barbie nomination, whether it should be an original or adapted. Ultimately, they decided since it's based on IP,
right,
that's where they lumped it into. Okay. And again, I'm kind of like, well, I mean, the movie doesn't work without that screenplay. It's like when we heard that they were the two doing it, that was the kind of the one nugget that people were like, all right, maybe this could work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nolan for Oppenheimer, I mean, a feat of adaptation, and as much as taking that tome of a book, American Prometheus, and like pulling what he wanted to out of it.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book that Poor Things is based on, but by all accounts, like a pretty interesting adaptation. And same thing in the case of The Zone of Interest, with Jonathan Glazer taking a text that was maybe a little more, you know, he's very specific in what he takes from that. I gotta say, though, while we're here, I don't know who you cut in particular, but it is an absolute travesty that Killers of the Flower Moon is not here.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
After having read that novel, that book cover to cover,
mm-hmm.
It's like that is such a feat of adaptation of what you choose to take from a story, how you choose to tell a story, the themes you choose to pull out of it. And I can't believe that that didn't have the juice to get into the nominations. Like, I don't understand that. And for a book that arguably was probably more widely read than any of the other, you know, books that are being adapted here. I know like Zone of Interest was a bestseller, but I don't think Poor Things ever was. American Prometheus obviously was, but I'm like, trust me, Killers of Flower Moon was like a thing, like when it came out, like a lot more people read it. I just was shocked it wasn't here. I say all of that to say, I'm really kind of, this is like a dice roll. What are you thinking?
I'm Barbie all day.
I'm going to go Barbie too. I think at the end of the day, it makes sense. In my head, that was always like, it was going to be an original screenplay and it was going to be a shoe-in. And I don't know why moving it makes me rethink it, but it's like, no, it has to win for the writing. Like, mm-hmm. So much of that is in the writing. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Cinematography.
Cinematography, and then we'll get to the real juice. The straight, uncut, the spice melange. Oh my God, where's cinematography? I lost it. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. Okay.
And the nominees are El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Well, excuse me. Sometimes we got to say that, you know, some of these are named guys. I'm just saying. Ed Lockman, Legend for El Conde, Rodrigo Prieto for Killers of the Flower Moon. I should also point out Rodrigo Prieto also shot Barbie this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Not nominated here. Matthew Lee Batik for Maestro. That's Aronofsky's usual guy, if I'm not mistaken. Hoyte van Hoytema for Oppenheimer. And Robbie Ryan, the great Robbie Ryan, for Poor Things. Dude, these guys are some elite legends. I'm just saying, all of these guys. But I think it's going to be Hoyt, obviously. Hoyte van Hoytema for Oppenheimer.
Okay.
What are you going with?
If Barbie was nominated, I'd go with Barbie. But since not, I'm going to go Oppenheimer. That being the biggest thing I saw in theaters last year, just the experience of it in the IMAX all. Like,
I think that's where people are going to go. My personal taste, as far as visuals that will stick with, like, I love the visual world of Poor Things, but of what's nominated here specifically, mm-hmm. images that are going to stick with me, Killers of the Flower Moon is full of them.
Oh, yeah.
Full of them. And there are some in particular, again, I don't know how many times I've brought up the burning the oil fields or whatever for the insurance money.
Mm-hmm.
That sequence in particular, I think, is just one of the most astounding visuals I saw in a theater last year, period.
Oh, yeah.
Just incredible stuff. So, in my heart of hearts, I'd go Rodrigo Prieto, but my brain goes with Hoyte van Hoytema, who, again, should have been nominated last year and arguably won for Nope. Jordan Peele's Nope. An absolutely astounding visual achievement.
I love that movie.
What a great movie. Completely ignored by the Oscars.
We'll have to do that when we start our sci-fi bit. We've been watching. So we watched a bunch of war movies the last couple nights. We watched Private Ryan. We watched all of Masters of the Air. We watched Black Hawk Down.
Is it all out now?
Masters of the Air?
Or just like you caught up to where it is? Or is
I caught up to where it is. Oh, okay. I caught up to where it is, yeah. It's really good. And then I guess Apple has some stuff running now. So we watched 300, then we watched Saving Private Ryan. And like when I say watched, he's literally just like he's on my chest and he's kind of curled looking at the TV, but he's out and I'm just awake because I know he's going to need to be fed in like an hour or two anyway. So mm-hmm. Maybe I'll pass out. Maybe I'll watch the whole thing and get up and go. So it's been really great having my full Adderall prescription because it's like I don't take it during the day. I just take it right at night whenever mom goes to sleep because she's still recovering and I can just be up all night. And then I'll pass them off at like 6-7 in the morning and be like, all right, I'm going to catch a few hours. I'll get up and cook breakfast for us and then we'll figure out what we're doing for the day. And then it's like, Here we go. It's 1:00 and day's almost over, but we're all fed and we're all good to go and everybody's happy. So that's all that matters.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Alrighty. All right, let's start.
Actors in a supporting?
I suppose we shall. Okay. Nominated for Barbie, Miss America Ferrara. In the holdovers, Davine Joy Randolph.
But she won the SAG Award for that, right?
She has won every precursor. If I am not mistaken, she has won every single precursor.
Then I'm going to put her on my list.
She is a shoe-in. Yes, mark her down for me as well. But out of respect, we also have Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer.
Miss Krasinski.
And, Liz Danvers herself, Jodie Foster in Nyad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's just happy to be here. You know,
dude, did you see? It's did
just
you see,
like a, you know.
Did you see the
she's already got, what, two?
Yeah.
She's got two Oscars.
Do you see they greenlit season 5 already?
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about this or not.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I mean, Tuesday shall return.
Yeah, baby.
You're good. Literally. Yeah, baby.
Did
I get to everybody there?
Yeah, we did. We got everybody.
But yeah, it's I don't know if you watched the holdovers yet.
I'm in the middle of it right now. Honestly, like I started it before I text you.
Oh, I thought you were like, I'm living it, brother. Like,
oh, no.
You just started it. Yeah, okay.
We just started it a minute ago.
Hell yeah, you're catching up on all the Oscar movies. But yeah, she's going to win, and I couldn't be more happy for her. She She really popped for me, I think, the first time was the High Fidelity series on Hulu, which was unfortunately very short-lived. They cut, you know, it was dead after one season. But she was in the Jack Black role, essentially.
Oh, okay, cool.
And she just, like, she crushed it. She, like, you know, she just nailed it. And so, and of course, you know, we just saw her on The Idol. She was arguably one of the best parts of The Idol.
Oh, yes, dude, yes.
You know, she is, you know, never bad in anything, always elevates. And it is, it's going to be very satisfying to be able to call her an Academy Award winner. Yes, very excited for that. Let's go ahead and move on to the men. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. We have Mr. I'm sorry, just laugh thinking about Duncan Wedderburn III every time I look at him. Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I can't wait for you to watch this movie, dude. I can't wait for you to see him in particular in this.
I listened to him and Marin, so I was like, I have to watch that before the Oscars. I know it's on Hulu.
As the devil himself, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mr. Louis Cipher.
Angel Heart. Go watch it. Angel Heart. Seriously, yeah. Everybody. Yeah.
Got RDJ in Oppenheimer.
Give it to him.
As Strauss. And
give it to him.
He's just Ken, Ryan Gosling and Barbie. And the always fantastic Mr. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. I'm right there with you, dude. I mean, it was kind of the story, one of the biggest stories coming out of it, and we talked about it at the time, and I'm right there with you. It's RDJ, dude. It's his year. He's gonna take it. This is the long roundabout crowning achievement on the full. It's so weird because it's like
he took the superhero route. It took a little bit longer, but now he's come back around.
That's the whole thing. Is like the reward for the getting your shit back together, you know, staying on the right track, putting in the work again, like going to, you know, showing up on set, doing the work that he did in the like early 2000s. All through there, the stuff that we love, the precursors that I'm like, you got Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, you got Zodiac, you got Game Six, like all the just
Tropic Thunder,
but that's, I mean, that same year as Iron Man, but it's like the reward basically for like, hey, you're back in the public's good graces, like every, you know, you're good again, is like, even though we had to fight for you, you get Iron Man, and then it's like, and then you're set. And again, I would bring it up over and over again, where I was just like, that's great. It was so great to like for him to get this success story. But I was always kind of bummed that it's like, but what did you do with it? You know, like you could make anything now and you're choosing to just kind of sit back and chill. And I'm like, dude, that's fine. You're a dad. You're enjoying like just, you know, resting on your laurels. That's cool. But I like that like he finally decided to truly like come out of this new kind of retirement. And really just show us like, hey, I haven't missed a beat. And I genuinely think even removed from that, if you cut out, you know, the 15 years of the Marvel movies, if you zap them out of existence, you know, if you snap them out of existence and they didn't happen. And this performance comes after, you know, Zodiac, for instance, and couple other things right around that, like you said, Tropic Thunder. I still think I'm looking at this Oppenheimer performance the same way I'm looking at it now, which is like, no, this is genuinely, I think I put this in easily the like top five of his career. And it's not the traditional, what I love about it so much is it's not the traditional RDJ charisma that dominates so much of his performance style in all of these other movies. It's the fact that he makes himself small. It's the fact that he makes himself put upon and slighted and jealous and enraged and like all of that stuff that you never really, like, he used to do that, but he hasn't done it in forever. And he really, that going to those places, that's where I'm like, he really disappears into it for me. Because he gets so far away from this persona that we know him as, not only as Tony Stark, but the persona he has off camera. And
did you hear his acceptance speech for the SAG Award?
I mean, I've heard versions of it throughout this season.
Is like with the he said something like, unlike the rest of the nominees, I will never get tired hearing the sound of my own voice. I was like, okay, this dude knows what he's doing. Like, he's having his time. He knows what's coming. He's there for it. Like,
it's happening. It's going to happen. I mean, indeed. Personally, I would love a zag. I would love a zag to, like, there was 51 votes and Mr. Ryan Gosling slips through. It would be, who would be mad? Who would be mad?
Yeah, who would be? Yeah, seriously.
Who would be mad? But it's RDJ all day, baby. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Actress in a leading role?
Let's do it. Might as well. Annette Bening in Naiad. Carrie Mulligan in Maestro. Emma Stone for Poor Things. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. And Sandra Hüller. Anatomy of a Fall.
Going to the Gladstone.
I just want to go out of my way to say I have not seen Naiad, but all of the other performances in this category are pretty phenomenal, pretty top notch. Even Carey Mulligan in Maestro, movie that did not 100% work for me. I thought she was pretty transcendent. Emma Stone, maybe my favorite performance of her career, and I love her in everything. And Sandra Hüller, somebody I am just like completely head over heels for, just off of this and Zone of Interest. And I need to go watch Tony Erdman, and I need to just see everything she's ever been in. She like knocks my socks off. But none of those performances hold a candle to Lily Gladstone in any way, shape, or form. And if she doesn't win this, I'm going to be very upset. If Emma Stone wins, like, we'll be okay with it. It's cool. Like, two-time Academy Award winner Emma Stone, I'm not going to be mad at that, especially not for this movie. But Lily Gladstone's going to take this. I feel pretty, pretty fucking confident and comfortable saying that. And it will be probably the sole place that it's honored. Yeah, I was going to say,
probably the sole place, like, that they're going to honor the movie.
I mean, that seems like it's just got to happen. That should be inevitable. Okay, yeah. All right, best actor. I'm so sorry. Please don't cry. Bradley Cooper in Maestro. Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer. Coleman Domingo in Rustin. Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Paul Giamatti. Another case where I just want to say, I did not see Rustin, which is on Netflix. But I fucking love Coleman Domingo. I've seen him a lot over the last couple of years, and
he's great. Dude's
always really, really top notch. Jeffrey Wright, I loved American Fiction, loved him in it. Paul Giamatti, I can't wait for you to watch it, man. Just, ew, what a guy.
If I had watched it, I'm pretty sure I would have a tough time between him and my pick, but my pick's
and that's what it is I'm like, it's between the two of them. And I'm going Killian as well. And this is one of those where I'm just like, wouldn't be mad if it goes to the other guy, but it's definitely between these two. And it's so cool, dude. I don't know how else to put it. It's just like, I never thought we'd be saying it, but like, yeah, Killian Murphy's about to win an Oscar, dude, for headlining a movie that made over $1 billion. Like,
yeah,
that's just so fucking cool, man.
If you'd have told me that guy Jim from 28 Days Later was randomly hello, like that, and then now 24 years later we're here, and like, or 23, whatever, how many years, and we're here. It's like, yeah, of course. And there's all these stops along the way.
Did you also hear, did we talk about this?
What?
28 Years Later is happening with Alex writing, Danny directing.
No.
And Killian returning in some capacity is all they have said. But that is like legit happening.
I mean, this would just be the icing on the cake with all that. When that trailer drops and it's like Academy Award winner, you know, Danny Boyle, Academy Award winner, Killian Murphy, Academy Award winner, Alex Garland, but I don't think he's won an Academy.
Well, Civil War comes out in like a month or two.
There we go. Yeah, there we go.
He'll be in the running for next year.
That runs for something. Yeah, then he's just like, bam.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right, best directing?
I suppose we should. We'll go from the bottom to the top on this one. We have Mr. Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. The legend, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. And it's your year, buddy. Get ready to take it home. Mr. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer.
That would be
again,
my pick.
Another one where I'm just like, can't say that I'm mad at it. And don't really, I mean, my strongest feeling in any other direction is Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. I just wanted to say that out loud. I think that's an incredible achievement, and it's higher ranked on my personal list than Oppenheimer. So take from that what you will. But yeah, we know who's taking it home.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna drive you home
tonight?
Christopher Nolan.
You know what's so terrible is like that's the most iconic car song I can think of.
He didn't even sing it. Yes, we've talked about this many times.
Okay, I know. I just like to throw that out there.
Didn't even sing it. Okay. The best picture of the year in the nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall. Sorry. Let's take it from the top. Hold on. And the nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie,
The Holdovers by Ash Morgenstern,
Killers of the Flower Moon,
Maestro.
Get it off this list, dude. Does not, it's like definitely the weakest sauce in this company. Like, do we all just feel bad for him? Did he just cry that much?
Go down the street, excuse me, on the 101, take it down to the 405, and get out of here.
Excuse me. Past Lives.
Oh, did we miss Oppenheimer?
Poor Things.
The Zone of Interest.
Got really dour there. Yeah.
I know. It's a downer movie, man.
It sure is. It sure the fuck is. So Oppenheimer's going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, we figured that. That's
It's such a weird year, dude, because we didn't really say it from the top, but like, if you listen to our year-end coverage, like, I felt so strongly about 2023. I saw so many great movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Oppenheimer was one of them. It wasn't in my own personal top 10, but now here we are, deep into award season. And there is that kind of feeling of just like, okay, like, yeah, I mean, like, I know it's going to win, but like, wouldn't it be kind of cool if something else did? You know, wouldn't it be cool if, like, just to shake things up, like PricewaterhouseCoopers, like, oh, there's been a last minute announcement. Some secret ballots were found. And then it's like, then it's Ballotgate 2024. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole thing. And people are like, no, dude, it was really Killers of the Flower Moon. And people are like, no, it was Oppenheimer. And it's like, no, it was fucking Barbie. It was Barbie the whole time. They try to silence it. But then it actually is Barbie. But then you have all the, like, the ultra, like, alt-right tiny contingency of the Nolan bros. And they're like, oh, we're coming. We want blood.
Right.
You're going to bleed pink, bitch. Like, you know.
What happened? Just rioting at Mattel headquarters the next day.
The color of communism.
Be there. We'll be wild. Just, you know.
Just say it, dude. Like, I can't, you know, is it weird that I secretly kind of hope for that? I kind of hope for some chaos, or I hope for like Christopher Nolan. Somebody makes a joke and he like slaps them across the face, and then they don't give him Best Director, and they don't give up. You know, they're like, we built a new law into the bylaws after the incident a few years ago. And if a member of the Academy strikes another member, they are immediately disbarred from all of their nominations. And it's just Oppenheimer is stripped of everything, and everything defers to Killers of the Flower Moon and the Holdovers, like the two other movies.
But like they have to bring it, but like it happens on the broadcast. So they bring everybody up who's won for any of those awards. It's like, sorry, this is null and void now. It's like a, you know.
It's been discovered that Christopher Nolan was juicing the whole fucking time.
Dude, I swear to God, when it that came
mysterious
back out.
Mysterious energy shots after hours between takes.
I went back. And I went down a whole rabbit hole. Like, we watched that. We watched Inception. I watched The Prestige last night. We watched, literally everything that was Nolan available on Peacock, we watched as soon as Oppenheimer came out. Like, I'd just been, I mean, they told me it would be different. And then I'd be like, you know, a dad and whatnot. And it's great. And I love it. But it's a lot of, like, this first 2 weeks has just been like, well, he's asleep. You want to watch something? You know, so it's been really fun. Just like, it's like Becky and I were talking about, it's like the longest time we've just been like with each other. Cause like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was watching stuff in and out on the television.
You know, that's what they say. The paternity and maternity leave. It's not for the baby. It's for you guys.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. so you guys finally get some time together.
Yeah. So it's been fun. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if we're going to watch the cast anywhere Sunday, but we'll definitely be. We can talk about it next week. Now that I know he can sleep through the night.
Yeah. So coming up, I'm gonna do some sort of Dune chat with the boys on part one and part two, and the Lynch version, kind of tie all that together, and then
you want to talk about Armageddon with Dune as well? Maybe.
I was thinking about it. You better believe I was thinking about it. I was gonna surprise you. I was gonna say that's the gift. That's the gift this year is. Like, you know, we're going to revive it. Hey, buddy.
He's waking up.
Yeah.
About time for your bottle, ain't it?
Perfect timing. Okay. Yeah. So I did want to ask you real quick. Have you guys watched any of Shogun?
No, I was going to start that, but then what did we watch? Oh, yeah. I started Masters of the Air, but yeah, I'm going to start watching that. And then I'm trying to get through Tokyo Vice, but I haven't started that yet.
Yeah. I've watched the first two of Tokyo Vice, and now there's been three of Shogun.
Mm-hmm.
It rules, brother. It's
it would.
But yeah, I was gonna say you might even want to wait like another week just because you're gonna want to binge and because they are meaty episodes. They're like, you know, it's basically HBO on FX at this point. It's pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll bid you gentlemen farewell. Hello, hello and bye-bye, Maverick. Thanks for joining us.
Say bye, Uncle Noah. Okay.
I heard a little chirp.
He's stirring here. Right. When he gets moved around, he gets better, but yeah.
For the Argivy podcast, I have been Noah.
I have been Gavin, and I have been holding my firstborn son, Charles Maverick Blanchard, known to all of us as just good old Maverick, and I don't know if he'll ever listen to this. Nobody will ever see this cast. I don't even know if I'm going to tell his mom that he somewhat joined us on this. She might just have to listen and find out. But yeah, this is fun. We'll do it again. Now that I can just hold a baby the whole time. It's so easy.
You can definitely, I was going to say, you can definitely hear him in here. And yeah, he'll just be a permanent fixture on the pod.
And I've got
this. Hear some baby noise.
Well, I've got this thing I haven't worked with yet because he's a little smaller than it needs to be, but it's literally just like a little, you know, it's a backpack clip-on thing. He just sits
I've
in the front.
It. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got to get him. I get him put in that, and it'll be easy to go.
And then when he starts talking, because, you know, as I always heard it, you talked really early, and I walked really early.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
We'll see if he takes after that. Maybe we'll be getting a third man on the cast as on a regular basis. That'd be really fun.
Yeah. We can ask him, like, you know, I don't know. What are the kids watching these days? Like, it's all like Gumball and Bluey and stuff we've never heard of. I don't know.
Dude, I can't wait to introduce him to Bluey and Miyazaki and many things.
Right. Or maybe we'll just have him watch some Uncle Noah's audio visual stuff and see what he thinks.
Well, I was going to say, we got to do the father son, like, top five episode or something, like first things you want to show him, or like about fathers and sons.
Yeah,
I
dude.
Don't know.
Totally. Yeah, we got to put that together. Yeah, I'll start working on that.
We should do like a good top five and then a dark top five. Like, avoid these relationships. And it's like Christopher Walken, Sean Penn at close range.
De Niro and DiCaprio, This Boy's Life.
Yes.
Yeah. But definitely Sean Penn. Dude, that guy, Foley, James Foley, he made some bangers, dude.
He also directed us a lot of Mad Men that I'm going through right now.
Yeah. I don't know what movie was that he was in today. And then I found a I don't know. It might be a hidden gem. I don't know where, I got to figure out where it's available to stream, but I found one I think I might want to bring to the table for a 2x2. It's a late 80s Don Johnson. Looks kind of good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you might enjoy it.
You let me know.
I will.
All right. I love you guys. And, all right, brother. I will talk to you soon. For the RKB podcast, I have been Noah. He's been Gavin. And he has also been Maverick. And you've been listening to our predictions for the Oscars. See you after Hollywood's biggest night. Have fun, Oppenheimer. Go clean up.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Is that over?